saved tonight.
I'm glad I'm a part of it. Amen. I'm glad I'm a part of an old-fashioned church that believes in saying amen. That's right. Good to see you tonight. Thank you for coming. Take your Bibles, if you will, tonight. Turn to the book of Acts. Book of Acts, chapter 17 tonight. Your Bibles tonight, Acts chapter 17. Man, that's a neat picture, isn't it? Isn't that wonderful? I'm serious. I just think that's a neat picture. I wanted to put that up there for you because I'm preaching on the Mars Hill message. Now, that's a little bit of a little confusing because really what that is the view from Mars Hill is what that is. And what you're looking at right there is called the Acropolis, which, by the way, is still there today. And that big building that you see on top there at one point was the treasury in Athens, Greece, and then later was made into a court and some different things, and later made into a church. But just, boy, just neat. I mean, just neat. Now, I don't know how many of you, I know Miss Patsy's been to the Holy Land, and I don't know if there's anybody else who's been to the Holy Land here. So we're all sort of sick of Miss Patsy tonight. Amen. And but amen. We'd like to go. We'd like to go, that's for sure. And you've been there, Miss Patsy, you've been there.
Right there.
What about that? What about that? And just a neat thing to see there. And Mars Hill and the Acropolis there you see is a almost, you know, reminds me of Pilot Mount, except much larger. It's about seven and a half acres of flat land where they finally put some buildings there. It's quite a distance above sea level, and just a neat thing. The view from there is Mars Hill. So if you were standing on Mars Hill, that would be the view there. And the Apostle Paul preached a message, if you will, on the top of Mars Hill. And we're going to talk about that message a little bit tonight. And so Acts chapter 17 in your Bible. We're going to let you remain seated tonight. And look, if you will, at verse number 16. Acts 17, verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all these things ye are too superstitious." We may come back there Sunday, all right, so y'all stay tuned. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though," and isn't this wonderful, "though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live, move, and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." And we'll stop there tonight. But I want you to notice verse 26. That's our text. We're going to move around a little bit tonight, but that's our text. The Bible says, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, that the bounds of their habitation. And so I just simply entitled this the Mars Hill message tonight. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll jump right into the Bible study this evening. Father, we love you and thank you for the privilege of being here tonight, for the help to be here, the privilege to be here, the freedom to be here, and then that we have a place to be at. Lord, thank you for giving us a good local church to be able to attend. And Father, I pray tonight now, we thank you for the great music and the great time of prayer, the great time of missions emphasis and fellowship and all these things. And now, Lord, as we take just a few moments right before we go home to just gather around thy word and try to be encouraged and helped through the word of God tonight, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us to accomplish that, that you would do that. Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and that you'd open our minds. And Father, that we would be attentive to the things of the Lord and that we would be able to learn, Lord, a truth tonight that would help us to be the Christians that we ought to be. So, God, lead and guide and direct. Help me to be able to recall what I studied, what you gave me in the study. And I pray that it'll make sense. And I pray that it'll help your people. And I pray that it will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Guide us now, please. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen and amen. And the Acts of the Apostles is not necessarily what we would call a doctrinal book. But as you read through the book of Acts, I would say that we definitely find some great Bible doctrines and some great biblical principles that are worthy of our attention. This is a great story. You ought to go home and read the whole chapter. It's about, 34 verses. And go home and read the whole thing. And it's a really good chapter. And Paul has made his way to Athens, Greece here. And really, if you go back and read the whole chapter, really what's happened is Paul's been sent there. He starts out Thessalonica, and Paul is preaching in Thessalonica. Man, if there was a synagogue, Paul was going to be there. And Paul goes into the synagogue, and man, he's got his guns loaded, and man, he's preaching and teaching and debating, and everywhere Paul goes, man, he gets things stirred up. And so, you know what? The disciples, they send him away, and so the people are sort of upset in Thessalonica, and they said, Paul, we better send you away. And so they send him down to Berea. It's almost a humorous chapter because things are so stirred up in Thessalonica that it's not really safe for Paul to stay there. So his loved ones come and they say, Paul, we got to get you out of here. And so they send him down to Berea. And it's not been about a verse later or so, but Paul's back in the synagogue in Berea. And Paul's preaching in Berea. And they get stirred up in Berea. And so they come and they say, Paul, it's not safe for you to stay here. And so they send him down toward the ocean. And then they send him to Athens here. And Paul is there just a little bit of time. And here again, he's doing what he always does. He's preaching Jesus. And he's getting people stirred up once again. And I notice here that, you know what, Paul is often preaching in the synagogues. But if Paul did not have the opportunity to preach in the synagogues, Paul preached wherever he had the opportunity. It didn't matter. Man, Paul just had a call to preach. And so if he had the opportunity to preach in the synagogue, he'd preach in the synagogue. But if he didn't have the opportunity to preach in the synagogue, Paul would preach in the street, or Paul would preach in the market. And I mentioned this to Brother Justin the other day. Brother Justin started our brand new ministry, the flea market ministry. And I sent him a text the other day, and I said, man, guess what? I said, you know what? You weren't the first one to think about this. I said, the Apostle Paul was. And we noticed there in Acts 17, verse 16, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore, disputed he in the synagogues with the Jews, look at this, and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. And so Paul just preached anywhere he'd get an opportunity, he just preached. Man, it didn't matter if it's a Sunday school or a bus or a jail or a nursing home or a pulpit or wherever it was. Man, Paul was just preaching Jesus. And it's while Paul is in Athens that he begins to notice that idolatry is prevalent in Athens. And we notice here that Paul is brought to a place called Mars Hill. Mars Hill. What was Mars Hill? Well, really it's the word Ars. And Ars was a Greek god, a Roman god, the god of war. I believe that's right, the god of war.
And it was on Mars Hill that in mythology they believe that Ars was tried by, I think, 12 other gods because he did something wrong to one of the daughters of the other gods. Anyway, but that's where it gets its name, Mars Hill. And so Paul is taken to Mars Hill, and it's on Mars Hill where some of the wisest of the wise are, and they're daily disputing about religions and what different people believe. And so they come to Paul and they say, Paul, we want you to come and we want you to talk to us a little bit about this Jesus that you're preaching and the resurrection and all these things. And so Paul goes to Mars Hill and begins to dispute, begins to debate, begins to teach, begins to speak, begins to preach to all these wise people. Now, I'm not preaching on this tonight, but I did want to draw this to your attention. Paul is before those here in Acts chapter 17. He's before those who are considered the wisest of the wise. But if you read Acts 17, we notice that Paul is not intimidated. Paul preaches the same message on Mars Hill as he preaches everywhere else. He preaches the same message on Mars Hill that he preaches in the market. He preaches the same message in the market that he preaches in the synagogue. And even though, boy, all these scholars and scientists and doctors and judges and all these people are there, you know what? Paul just preaches the same thing that he always preaches. Now, I said that to say this. As Christians, we need not be intimidated by this world, but just determined to stand for truth. And it doesn't matter who you're with. Man, just preach Jesus. Amen. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they're poor or they're rich. We ought to preach the same message that Paul preached. We ought to preach Jesus. Amen. And don't back down because somebody has a $400 suit or somebody drives a Cadillac or whatever the case might be. Man, just let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords, supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the light, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. It doesn't matter where you are. Man, just talk about Jesus. Amen. But I want you to notice tonight, real quickly, I want you to notice several things that Paul brings out in his message on Mars Hill. We'll put just a few things on the screen so you can remember them. But one of the very first things that we notice that Paul preaches is this. We see the equality of creation. Now, I promise this thing can be deep. You know that because I'm preaching tonight. But I want you to look with me, if you will, at Acts chapter 17 and verse number 26. Just interesting. The Bible says, and hath made one, talking about the Lord, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. I love that. You know what Paul was saying there? All men are not from the same nation, but all men are the same. That's what he's saying. One blood. You know what? We all have the same exact blood, don't we? That's what he's saying. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter if you're American. Doesn't matter if you're Russian. Doesn't matter if you're Filipino. Doesn't matter if you're red, yellow, black, or white. You know what? You may not look exactly right. You may not look exactly like the other guy, but according to the scripture, you know what? We are all the same blood. Regardless of what the outside may look like, regardless of what the skin color is, regardless of what the social status is, regardless of what the financial status is, somebody says, well, you know what? That guy there, he's real important. Well, you know what? I understand maybe what you're saying, but the truth is we're all the same. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. No man stands higher than I can call on Jesus' name and a king can do the same. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. You know what? All have been created with the same blood. And I said that to say this, that none are better than others. And all need to be reached with the gospel. In fact, our Bible tells us in Acts chapter 10 and verse number 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And that's what Paul is preaching. And understand that Paul is preaching to the elite. He's preaching to those who maybe felt like they were a little better than some, those who had much more education than others. And he was preaching to probably those who were scribes and those who were the religious elite. And Paul says to them, hey guys, I'm gonna tell you something. We all got the same blood. All got the same blood. We're all created equally. Now I said that to say this. Did you know tonight the church was never designed to be a country club, but rather a spiritual hospital reaching everybody, reaching every single soul. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, verse number 12, "But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." He said, "But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And how many know tonight that a lot of churches, all they're interested in is just having a church full of righteous people? Now, thank God. Listen, I hope you're righteous. I hope you're righteous tonight. I hope you're saved. And I hope you're right with God tonight. But I want to say tonight, you know what? If you've got the right kind of church, if you've got the right kind of church, you're not just going to have a bunch of righteous people in it. Did you know that? That's right. That's right. Who was it? Man, we had a visiting speaker sometime in the last little bit, and he said to me, he said, "Man, I love your church." He said, "I love it. I love it." I said, what do you love? He said, "I love it because," he said, "when we walk in," he said, "man, I see all walks of life." He said, "I see all levels of spirituality." He said, "I can tell." He said, "You can always tell a healthy church." Man, you know what? When everybody's not dressed exactly right. You know what that means? He said, that means that you're reaching people. And you know what? Some folks don't all know how to dress just right. And some folks don't know how to cut their hair just right. And he said, "Man, you know, it's a healthy church when you've got people in there like that." And you know what? Listen, we are at Calvary Baptist Church, we are a spiritual hospital. Every single Sunday. You know why it's so important you be here? Because every Sunday we do heart surgery. Every single Sunday. Maybe not physical. Physical heart, but spiritual heart. The Sunday school classes are spiritual examination rooms, and the altar is a place where people come for sterilization and cleansing. The Bible is our scalpel. The Holy Ghost is our great physician. The music is our penicillin. The buses are not just buses, but they're spiritual ambulances. And I just said that to say this: hey, brother, listen, I'm no better than anybody, and you're no better than anybody. And the truth of the matter is, we're supposed to be reaching everybody. And you got to understand something, how Paul, he is around some very important people. And you see, if we're not careful, you'd read right over this, never notice it. And Paul's preaching to the elite, and he says, "By the way, guys, we all got the same blood." Now, if you think for a half second that really stood well with all those guys, you probably got another thing coming. Because I'm sure some of those guys felt like, you know what, they felt like they never got dirty. They felt like, you know what, that they weren't as low as maybe somebody else was. And Paul came in. Paul says, "Hey, guys, we all got the same blood. Man, you know what, we're all created equally. This is a spiritual hospital." How many know tonight that a hospital helps everybody? A hospital doesn't discriminate. If you're sick, you're a candidate. Is that right? Man, what kind of hospital would you be if, when you came to the hospital and you were sick and they turned you away? What kind of hospital would you be? What kind of hospital is it that, you know what, when somebody goes to the hospital and you say, "Boy, I'm sick," or "My blood pressure is running really, really high," or "You know what, I got a bad cut and I need some stitches," and they said, "Man, we don't, listen, go home, we don't do that here." You say, "Preach, that's not a hospital. A hospital deals with sick people. A hospital reaches out to those that are having problems." And by the way, so should a spiritual hospital do the exact same thing. And I'm glad and I thank God that we have people at Calvary Baptist Church who believe what I'm preaching tonight. You believe this is a spiritual hospital. And I thank God that I pastor a church where everybody's welcome. And doesn't matter who you are, and doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter what color your skin is. Man, I'm thankful that we have people come here from all walks of life, and they'll leave and they'll say, "Preacher, I love this church. I love this church." You know why that is? Because there's people that welcome them in and love them and make them feel important and make them feel loved. And by the way, that's the way that a right kind of church ought to be. Right. We had a person here recently who's struggling. I mean, struggling with some things. But they told me, they said, I love the church. I love the church. And when I come, I don't feel judged. I get help. I receive help. And the people are so nice. And the people are so loving and so friendly. Hey, hallelujah. That's the kind of church that I want to be a part of tonight. The hospital helps everybody. When I first came, I'm thankful for what God has done. Because I remember when I first came to Calvary, it wasn't always like that. And not really by the membership that was here then, not really by that at all. But people who started coming to this church after I became the pastor here, and boy, they took me to the side and they let me know real quick, now you know where you're pastoring, don't you? Well, last time I checked, pastor in Union Grove. Well, that's right. Now, preacher, I know you mean well, and you're a good man, but you know what? You don't do it like that in Union Grove. And what they were saying was, you know what? We don't reach out to everybody at Calvary. You see, we don't do that in Union Grove. You might do that in L.A., or you may do that, in Chicago, but you don't do it in Union Grove. But I thank God that we had some people at Calvary Baptist Church who stood with me. And you know what? We just kept on keeping on and just kept on reaching everybody we could reach and just kept on loving everybody we could love. And by the way, God has done a work and God has built a work. The hospital helps everybody. And I thought about this. The hospital is designed to be used. Man, listen, somebody might say this, preacher, we're putting way too much wear and tear on the church. And last week, this was a high traffic place, brother. And our carpet tells the story. It really does. I mean, Friday night, man, when we get ready to close the doors, I thought, man, there's been more traffic in this place this week than the Dan Ryan Expressway. You know what? During rush hour in Chicago, Illinois. And just, I mean, people everywhere going all kind of places. And by the way, man, thank God I pastor people like I pastor tonight. But you understand that there's a lot of churches, they wouldn't dare run a bus. You know why? They might get a fingerprint on their drywall. But listen, church, this is not a museum where people come to look at a bunch of old relics. And I just described a lot of churches. That's all that's there is a bunch of old relics. They wouldn't run a bus, wouldn't invite somebody in. Wouldn't invite somebody of another race in their church, you know what? Because it's their museum, and we don't want you to scuff the carpet, and we don't want you to put a fingerprint on the drywall or whatever the case might be. But you know what, brother? A hospital is there to be used. And by the way, by the grace of God, soon and very soon, we're going to have a beautiful, beautiful campus to the glory of God. But may I just go ahead and let you know that that campus is going to be there to be used as well. Man, if we're going to build a museum, let's just go do something else. Amen. We notice the equality of creation. Hey, take your Bibles. I'll hit these last two quick. Take your Bibles. Look at James chapter 2 tonight. Hold your place now in Acts 17, because we're going to go back there in just a second. But look at James chapter 2 and notice what our Bible is telling us here in James chapter 2. And look at verse number 1. The Bible says in James 2 and verse number 1, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto you, unto your assembly, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, or in other words, the expensive clothes, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place. And say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the what did he say? The poor. Oh, wow. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which you're called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. By the way, I feel a spirit of amen here tonight on that note. But I would say this, I could preach that in some churches and they'd probably try to run me out. But everybody's welcome at Calvary. Everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome in the true church. You know why? Because all got the same blood. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter. You know what? Brother, we're all a bunch of sinners that are, if we're saved, we're saved by grace. We're all sinners that deserve to go to hell. We've all got the same problem. It's a sin problem. Hey, it's a bad problem. Except we're saved by the grace of God, we'll all perish and go to hell. But we see the equality of creation. Hey, real quickly, how about this? Number two, we see the mortality of the created. Would you look back at Acts 17 and verse number 26? Again, these are things, if you're not careful, you just sort of read right over them. But notice what Paul says here in Acts 17, verse 26. He said, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth. Look at what he says. And hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. You know what Paul is saying there? We're all on borrowed time. Our days were planned and appointed before we were ever created. So if someone lives to be 98, someone says, wow, they lived to be 98. That was what God had appointed already. But if someone dies at 25, and I've probably said it too, I'll say, boy, they died a premature death. Well, maybe not. It could be that 25 was all that God gave them. That was the bounds of their habitation. Now, I just said that to say this, because we're mortal. And that's what Paul is saying. Because we have bounds. Our habitation is bound. Because we're mortal, we better not wait to serve God. We better not wait to get right. We better not wait to make a difference. Hey, he says in Acts 17, verse 30, he said, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And that's all I'm saying tonight. You know what? We're all on borrowed time. And I don't know why it seems like I'm staying on this line of communication the last few services. And boy, I hope not for any kind of a bad reason. But I would say this. Listen, brother, we don't know how many days we have. And while we have some days, we better serve God. Man, we better. Listen, somebody says, well, I tell you what, preacher, in a year from now, I'm going to do something serious for God. Brother, you may not have a month from now. And we better serve Jesus Christ while we can. Listen, we could be standing before Christ before September rolls around. And we better do everything that we can do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, let me give you this last point. Not only do we see the equality of the creation and the mortality of the created, but last of all, I just thought this was interesting. We see the reality of the creature. Would you look back at Acts 17 again and look at verse number 26? Paul says, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, all the same blood, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Now look at verse 27. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. The reality is tonight that there is something that is placed in the heart of every man and woman when they're created that supernaturally tells them they need God. Did you know that? Did you know God created us with a hole in our heart? And it's a God-shaped hole. And nothing will ever fill that hole. Nothing will ever fill that void. By the way, a lot of people try to fill it. That's why, it's exactly why. I mean, you see these celebrities and these sports figures, and I mean, making $25, $50 million a year. I mean, driving the finest cars, living in mansions, and I mean, unbelievable wealth, but yet they can't stay out of jail, and they can't keep from having problems in their marriage, and their lives are falling apart. Why? I'll tell you why. Because they're trying to fill that hole with something that's not God. Listen, brother, I'm telling you tonight that nothing's going to fill that hole. Drugs won't fill feel it. Alcohol won't feel it. Pleasure won't feel it. Fun won't feel it. Parties won't feel it. I'm just telling you, hey, and by the way, a lot of people have bucked what I'm preaching tonight and said, preacher, you're sweet, and you're a sweet guy, but I don't believe it. And they went out that door and tried to fill that hole with something else. And I want to tell you what, brother, to this day, it's still not filled, because there's nothing that'll ever fill it except God. God said, I have created men with a need. And the only thing that will fulfill that need is me. Now, I told our soul winners tonight, sometimes when you go out, you get a bad response. I mean, sometimes you get a door slammed in your face, and sometimes you might get cussed and different things. And you know what? But I'm going to tell you what, before we ever get there, God's already let them know somehow. God's already let them know that they have a need for the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, it's exactly why in Acts 17:21, the Bible says, for all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Brother, they were looking. They were searching. And you know what they were searching for? They were searching for God. It's exactly why we better be careful to get the gospel message to this lost and dying world. They're looking for God. Oh, I know, you may meet some that don't act like they're very interested, but you know what? You just let God do the work. And somewhere along the line, God's already let them know. He created them knowing they need to seek the Lord. Listen, I ask you a question, and we're done tonight. Answer this. Why would a native who's never been to Walmart, who doesn't even know who Billy Graham is, they've never heard the name Billy Graham, they've never even heard the name Jesus Christ, why would a native way out in the bush somewhere in Africa or Papua New Guinea, why would a native take a rock and set a rock up somewhere and try to worship that rock? Why would a native worship a river or crocodiles in that river? Why would they do that? I mean, you know what? Why would they? I'll tell you why. Because God has put something in them that says, man, you're searching for God. You're searching for God. By the way, that's exactly why it's so important that we keep sending missionaries all across the world. Why? So they can go to those people and say, hey, the God you're looking for, his name is Jesus. And when they trust Jesus Christ, that void is filled. It's exactly why Christians, our life's never going to be complete outside of the will of God. Hey, did you notice what Paul said in Acts 17:28? Man, this is good preaching right here. I'm talking what Paul did. Look what he said in verse number 28. Paul said, For in him, we live and move and have our being. And so, listen, I love you tonight. And I appreciate you being here. Well, I'm proud of you for being here tonight. But let me just encourage us tonight by saying this, that you know what? If you ever get away from the will of God, you're never going to be happy. Never going to be happy. And we had Christians who've sat in these seats, and right now they're out of the will of God. And by the way, they may put on a happy face. But I'm telling you, brother, at night, when the lights go off and they got to lay down and everything gets quiet, there's a problem. Because Paul said it's for in him we live. And God created us with a void if we don't fill it with him. Man, I'm going to tell you what a blessing to be able to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that great? Be able to serve God. Man, I love it. I thank God I'm a part of a church like this that just welcomes everybody in. I love it. I love it. Man. Hey, Calvary, let's keep on keeping on. Let's keep doing what we know we ought to do. Amen. Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you for this time we've had together tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless this feeble attempt, Lord, at trying to bring some things out of the word tonight. And God, I pray that you'll use us. And Father, please keep our church on the right track. God, help us to reach everybody we can reach with the gospel. God, help us to Lord, help us to do our best to invite everybody in and to love everybody and be kind to everybody. God, help us to realize that, God, we're never high and mighty. Father, we've all got the same blood. God, we're all sinners saved by grace. None of us are better than anybody else. And Lord, I pray that, Father, when that wealthy man walks in, I pray we'll welcome him. But God, I pray when that poor man walks in, maybe that man from the shelter, that man that just came off the street, Lord, I pray you'll help us to be careful to welcome him. God, everybody ought to be welcome at this spiritual hospital. Father, tonight, I pray that you help us to realize that we are mortal. And God, because we're mortal, our time is limited. And Lord, we better serve Jesus while we can. Lord, if there's somebody here tonight that's never been saved, help them to realize their days are numbered. And Lord, if they're not saved tonight, God, they need to get saved tonight. Lord, they may not have tomorrow. And so I pray that you'll help them to come. And so, Lord, have thy way in this invitation. Speak to hearts, please. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Would you stand with us all over the house tonight? And we're not going to prolong an invitation tonight, but I would say this. If you're here tonight and you don't know that you know that you're saved and going to heaven.